daf is Vavmetzia daf Gimel. We left off in daf Bezim and Bez. We are in the middle of a series of three statements that the Gemara is going to make that says, Lema, let us say that our Mishnah is against the following Shita. So we already had the Lema Masnisin Delo Kebed Namas, that was yesterday, and now we are up to Lema Masnisin Delo Kesumchus, which is a little more than halfway down the page on daf Bezim and Bez, about 12 lines, 15 lines from the bottom of the page. First word on the line is Agbahuha. Says the Gemara in the second one of the line, Lema masnisin de loka sumchus. So let us suggest our Mishnah is against sumchus. Di ika sumchus, hamar mamunu mutubasavi cholkin below shvua. Sumchus holds that whenever you have a suffix about who the money belongs to, you divide without a shvua. And in our Mishnah, you had shnai mochsin betalis, two guys grabbing onto betalis, each one was saying it was theirs. It was clearly a case of mamunu mutubasavi. And yet we said they are cholik, but only with a shvua. Each one has to take a shvua that they own at least half of it before they take their half. So it seems that our mission is against sumchus. Sumchus would have said that the shvua is unnecessary. So says the Gemara, Velamais, what's the alternative? Rabbanan. You want to say that the mission is going like the Rabbanan? Well, you know what the Rabbanan say? Ha'amri amotzi mechavero lavaraya. The Rabbanan say, forget about cholkin. The Rabbanan say, amotzi mechavero alavaraya. So haimai. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second, let's back up a second. Iyam Rabishlam Rabbanan, if you say that the Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan, when do you say Amotzi Mechaver Lav Haraya, Hasan Dlo Tavsi Travayu, Am Rabbanan Amotzi Mechaver Lav Haraya? When both of them are not holding on to the item, one of them is toe-facing it, and therefore one of them is clearly the Mukhzak, so you're going to say Amotzi Mechaver Lav Haraya. Whoever the Mukhzak is, gets to keep it. But Hachas de Travayu Tavsi, Pal Yilab Shvua. But maybe over here, where they're both being toe-face onto it, so there is no mukhzak, and therefore you would split it with the shvua. So it is shaykh to say that our mishnah is going like the rabbanan. That wouldn't be a problem. That doesn't bother us. Eli yamrit sumchus. But if you're going to say that our mishnah is going like sumchus, hashtu umah hasam delo tafsi tarvayu cholkin below shvua. Now, if in that case where they're not both toe-face it, you would divide it without a shvua. The hacha de travayu tafsila over here, where they are both being tofesid lo kolshken. That's all the more reason to call for a division without a shvua, to not make them take a shvua and just divide it. So it seems that our mishnah is against sumchus. That was one long lema masnis and deloka sumchus. Right? It seems clear that our mishnah is not like sumchus. The Gemara is going to suggest three ways that our mishnah might actually be like sumchus. Three ways that our mishnah might fit with sumchus. Says the Gemara, number one, Afilu tema sumchus, maybe our Mishnah does go like sumchus. Ki amar sumchus shema v'shema. When does sumchus say that mamun amutzu b'safek, you are cholik, you just divide without a shvua? That's when each one has a taina of shema. Each one thinks, maybe the whole thing is theirs. Avul bari bari lo amar. But sumchus would never say, in the case of bari bari, like in our Mishnah, where each one very clearly says, This kula shali, each one says that with certainty that the talis belongs to them. In such a case, even sumchus would admit that you would only be chalek with a shvua. So says the Gemara, that's great, if you hold that that's in fact true, that sumchus limits his mamun amutzu b'safek cholkin ruling to cases where it's shema v'shema. Rabbi Rav Huna damar amar sumchus afilu bari bari ma'ikal meimar. But what are you going to do according to Rabbi Rav Huna, who thinks sumchus still holds mamun amutzu b'safek cholkin below shavua, even in the case of bari ubari? Then how are you going to explain our Mishnah according to sumchus? So says Gemara, possibility number two, how to explain our Mishnah according to sumchus. Afilu tema sumchus, our Mishnah could even be going like sumchus. Ki amar sumchus, hecha di'ika drara de mamona. Aval hecha deleka drara de mamona lo. Sumchus only says, mamona mutl b'savi cholkin, in a case where there is drara de mamona. Where there's no drara de mamona, sumchus does not say mamona mutl b'savi cholkin. The question, of course, is, what in the world is drara de mamona? I mean, what becomes very clear in our Gemara is that shnai mochsin betalis is not drara de mamona. Whatever drara de mamona is, shnai mochsin betalis is not it. Because the Gemara is saying that sumchus would not hold cholkin below shvua when there's no drara de mamona. When there's no drara de mamona, he would say you divide it with a shvua. So in order to know what drara de mamona is, so a good way to figure it out is by looking at the Gemaras that discuss cases of Dror de Mamona, and see the, and through the cases, seeing if we can find some commonality between the cases. So in Maseches Shavuos and Daf Mem Amud Beis and Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara distinguishes between two cases. One case, and we just had this again recently, but we two cases. One case is where the guy says, Reuven says to Shimon, I lent you money, you owe me money. And Shimon says, you're right, Amoda, I owe you money. And then the next day, Reuven comes and says to Shimon, can I have my money back? And Shimon says, I already gave it to you last night. Meaning, we know for sure that there was a loan. Shimon even acknowledged that there's a loan. The only thing is now he's claiming he already paid it in the interim between admitting it and when it was asked from him again. As opposed to a case of Kofar HaKol, where Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you owe me money. And Shimon just says, I don't owe you anything. So the Gemara says, the first of those two cases that I just mentioned is Dror de Mamona. The second of those two cases is not Dror de Mamona. Another example where the Gemara has Dror de Mamona, the phrase Dror de Mamona, the Gemara Basra Daf Lamed Hey, by Machlev Par Bechamor VeYolda, that where we do a kinyan where I'm acquiring your para, but it's not right in front of us right now because we're doing a kinyan chalipin with a chamar, and therefore I don't know exactly what the status of the para is at the moment that I acquire it, and the para has given birth by the time we find it, and we're not sure if the para gave birth before the kinyan or after the kinyan, right? If it gave birth before the kinyan, then the seller owns the baby. If it gave birth after the kinyan, the buyer owns the baby. So in that case also, the Gemara says, that's called the case of Dror de Mamona. Or a case where someone says to you, Gemara Ksubistav Chav Gimel says, someone comes to you and says, hey, why are you in my property? I have a chazak, this cheskos marakam in this property, it always belonged to my family. And the fellow living in the house says, no, shalavicha haisa, you're right, it did belong to your family, but v'lekachtia mimenu, I purchased it from your family. So that also, the Gemara says, is a case of Dror de Mamona. Gemara Baba Kama Daf Lamed Hey gives a case of one ox running after another ox, and we find the second ox injured, but we didn't see the actual goring of the first ox or the second ox, we just saw it running after it, and it turned a corner, and next thing we knew, by the time we turned the corner, the second ox was injured. The Gemara refers to that as Dror de Mamona as well. What are cases that are not Dror de Mamona? So Gemara Baba Basra, that we, in Daf Lamed Hey says, if Zelmer Shalavosai, Vizelmer Shalavosai. If each one says that the field belongs to their father, right, that the house belongs to their father, was in their family, that's not Dror de Mamona. Zelmer Ksav Yadi and Ksubis is also not Dror de Mamona. There are lots of, it's hard to go through every case in Shas. There are lots of cases in Shas, but that's just a sampling. So we have to, what the Rishonim tried to do is look at all those cases and see if they find any patterns, any connection between the Dror de Mamona cases, and so that we can define what the term means. What does Dror de Mamona mean? So Rashi, throughout Shas, and over here is no different, says Dror de Mamona, if you look four lines from the bottom of the page, Dror de Mamona, Chesron Mamon. It means a loss of money. Shemi para ze shalo kedin, have a chesron mamon. That if this guy were to get paid, shalo kedin, if someone were to get the money and he didn't deserve it, the other guy would be losing. It would be chisaron for the other person. Vim niftarenu shalo kedin, nimtza ze chasr vlad paraso. And if we were to let him off the hook, shalo kedin, if we were to pater him, shalo kedin, so the guy would lose the vlad of his para, meaning he's referring to the case of Machlev Par B'chamar, and you find the Vlad. So someone owns that Vlad, and therefore, if we pask in the wrong way, someone's going to lose that money. That's why it's called Dror de Mamona. Dror de Mamona is when there's a monetary loss. Why is our case of Shnayim Balchus and Betalus not Dror de Mamona? No one's losing anything. It was a Metzia. They both found it on the street. No one's claiming they bought it. No one's losing any money. And even by Mekach Memchor, we said before that each one would get their money back. So no one's losing any money in our case. So it's, our case is not a case of Dror de Mamona. And if you go back to each of the cases, you'll find that Rashi generally seems to fit in. However, the Rashba here in Bat Metzia, Daf Beis, our Rashba quotes Rashi. And then he rejects Rashi. He says, "Ve'ein perusho nira mechuvar." He says, "I don't think his pshat is so good based on one of the Gemaras that we mentioned." Midamrin perecheskas habatim zomer shalavosai v'zomer shalavosai. The Gemara says in Cheskas Habatim in the third parak of Bava Basra, if each guy claims that a house belonged to their father, and therefore they are the rightful yorshim of that house. Amar Rav Nachman kol da'alim gavar. Rav Nachman says, so the halacha is, Kol Dalam Gavar. We have no way of paskening that case, so we discussed Kol Dalam Gavar yesterday. We let them fight it out, we let them figure it out themselves. Vakshinon Alei, and the Gemara asks on that, Me'am Machlev Paravachamar V'Yolda, Zemr Bereshusi Yolda, Zemr Bereshusi Yolda, and we ask on that from the case of Machlev Paravachamar, where we don't say Kol Dalam Gavar. Umetaritzan, the Gemara answers, Hasam Ikad Dror Demon Ulamar Ulamar. By the case of Machlev Par, there's Dror D'mona on both sides. Aval Hacha, but over here, by the case of Zelmer Shalavosai, there's Leka Dror D'mona. Di D'mar Lo D'mar, Vi D'mar Lo D'mar. Because if it belongs to one guy, it doesn't belong to the other. If it belongs to the other one, it doesn't belong to this guy. So Frek the Rashba on Rashi's Pshat, Vi'ike Perushal Shal Rashi Zal, by he de Zelmer Shalavosai, Gam Kenis Bechasrun Kis. You want to talk about losing money? If I'm supposed to yarshin a house and now I lose it and someone else gets it, that ain't chesron mamon gadol mizeh. That's a loss of money. That's a real loss of money. So don't tell me that that's not called drar d'mamona. If Rashi's definition of drar d'mamona is correct, then we have a problem. Then that Gemara poses a problem. Zemer shalavosai seems to be a real case of drar d'mamona. So instead, the Rashba quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel. He writes, Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Shmuel Zal Pirshu, drar d'mamona ikar mamon. Drar d'mamona means ikar mamon. What does that mean? Pirish she haya lo ba ikar tviya v'chazaka below machlokas. That a guy had some chazaka, some claim on the item without any machlokas occurring. Kigon he de machlo parabachamar de mocher yeshal chazaka gemura de shaloisa kodem chalipin. Meaning, as of yesterday, in the case of machlo parabachamar, we know the mocher owned everything. Prior to the chalipin, the mocher was definitely muchzak and everything. V'shalohu tovea, and therefore he's claiming what was definitely his yesterday. V'lokeach nami shalohu achshav below machlokas v'shalohu tovea, and the lokeach also as of today is muchzak and everything, and therefore is claiming what seems to be rightfully his. But by the case of Rav Nachman, neither of them have a chazaka, right? Neither of them have a real chazaka without their machlokas. So you need to have. So that's the definition of drar d'mamona according to the Rashba in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Shmuel. Tosos gives a little bit of a clearer definition. Tosos over here, and again elsewhere as well, everywhere Tosos writes this. If you look at Tosos, Hecha di'ika drar d'mamona, says Tosos, Pirish shabalota anoseim yishafik lebezdin. Drar d'mamona means that without anyone saying a word, if we were to just take a picture or a silent video of what was happening, Bezdin would be mesupak about who owns it. Di'yesh lecha tvi al chaveru below ta'anosam, kigon b'shar shenag chesaparo, machlev par b'chamar, achrei shasafik nolad me'atzmo, dinu she'yachloka afilu below shavua. When the suffix is self-evident, and it's not something that you need to hear their tainos to realize what the suffix is, then that's called drar d'mamona. So in that case, you would be able to be cholik even without a shavua. But when the suffix is only based on their tainos, so then you would need the shavua in order to be cholik. So anyway, so that's what the Gemara suggests. Maybe Simchas only says, maybe our Mishnah could even be going like Simchas, because when does Simchas say that you divide without a shavua? That's in cases where there's yes drar d'mamona. Our Mishnah is a case where there's no drar d'mamona, and therefore even Simchas would say you need a shavua. So it says Gemara v'lav kal v'chomer hu. But wait a second, isn't it kal v'chomer? Ma hasam dika drar d'mamona lamar, vika drar d'mamona lamar. Let's stick with Rashi. If each one has a loss of money, by a case where each one stands to lose something, vika lamemar kula lamar, vika lamemar kula lamar, and it's shaykh that each one, that each guy might be the owner of the entire thing. Still, Amar Sumchus Mamun Multiple Savi Cholkin below Shavua, Sumchus is still willing to say, divide it without having to take a Shavua. Hacha Daleka Drar de Mamona, Dika Lamemar de Travayuhi, Lokolshkein. Over here, where there is no Drar de Mamona, where it's possible to say that it belongs to both guys, So then all the more so, if there's no Dror de Mamona, where in, like in our Mishnah, where it's and it's possible that it belongs to each of them, so then of course dividing it without a Shmuel is so much easier, because it's possible that that's the right halacha. Meaning when it's Kula Demar or Kula Demar, so dividing it's not the right halacha, dividing it is just a compromise. But when it's possible that it actually belongs to both of them, where dividing it might actually be the right halacha, might actually be what's the rightful din, so all the more so, Sumchus should say, you divide it without a Shavua. So we're back to the saying that Sumchus is against our Mishnah. So says Gemara, third possibility of how to make Simchus fit with our Mishnah. I feel the same with Simchus, our Mishnah could even be going like Simchus in the following way. Shavua zumi drabanan hi. What does Simchus hold? That by Momen and Mutl B'Safik, we are Cholek without a Shavua. And our Mishnah says you need a Shavua. Says the Gemara, yeah, our Mishnah says you need a Shavua on a drabanan level. On a daraisa level, you don't need a shvua. So it's only midrabban, kid Rabbi Yochanan, dam Rabbi Yochanan, shvua zu takanas chachamim hi. The chachamim were misakin the shvua. Why were they misakin the shvua? Shelo yehikolach ve'echad holich v'tokev v'talisa shachavero v'omer shalihu. So that you don't have each guy running around grabbing his friend's talis and saying it's his, right? Because if you were always able to just divide it, cholik without a shvua, anyone would walk over to his friend, grab his talus, the friend would grab his end of the talus, and they would walk into Bezin, each claiming that it's theirs. So in order to avoid, prevent, to discourage people from doing that, we say you're not going to be able to get anything unless you take a shvua, and no one's going to want to go through the trouble of taking a shvua. Now the Rashash has an important ha'ar over here. The Gemara makes it sound like it was just mechadesh this idea that the shvua that we're saying, that the shvua in our Mishnah that you take, that at least half of it belongs to you, the Gemara makes it sound like it was just mechadesh that that's a shvua d'rabbanan, right? That previously we had thought, for some reason, that's a Shavua d'oraisa. Says the Rosh Hashanah, no, that's not really the Chiddush of the Gemara. It was always a Shavua d'rabbanan. We never had a Havamina that was a Shavua d'oraisa. It's simply not any of the Shavuas d'oraisas that we know of. And you never have a Shavua d'oraisa like that. A Shavua d'oraisa that ain't li b'pachos michetzia. It's a very unusual shvua to be a shvua d'oraisa. So says Rosh Hashanah, lo d'mei kara havasal kadaituch to shvua zu d'oraisa hi. It's not that we initially thought this shvua was d'oraisa. It's av sumchus mo d'heichu dika shvua d'oraisa. Even sumchus would be moda in a case where there's a shvua d'oraisa. So it's not shaykh that we originally thought this is a case of shvua d'oraisa. Va'od in the shvua min haTorah chutz migimel, and we know what the shvua d'oraisas are. So what was the havmina? Ela da salka daitoch t'rabban t'knuah mitam de meshakri. Im kein de sumchus nami v'chidish lo de taimak t'Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning we originally thought that the reason they were misakin the shvua was because we're worried that people lie. So therefore we were misakin the shvua. In which case, by sumchus is halach also, we should make them take a shvua because by case of machl parbachmar, whatever else, wherever there's moment of multiple safek, we should make them take a shvua just to make sure everyone's being honest. But then we realized that no, that wasn't the motivation of the rabban. It wasn't such a broad reasoning of just shema that they're mishakri, shema they're lying. And no, the reason was very specific, relating to a talus, which is so accessible and so easy for you to just go over to your friend and just grab his talus. So it's limited to this case. So that's why the Rabbanan instituted a shvua here, and therefore it doesn't spread to all of Simchus's cases of Momen Umutl B'Safek. That's what changed in the Gemara. So in the Havamina, we thought that the motivation for the shvua Rabbanan was something that should apply to all of Simchus's cases, and therefore it doesn't make sense why over here you would need a shvua, and everywhere else you have Momen Umutl B'Safek, Simchus would say Cholek without a shvua. But now we're saying, no, the reason you have a shvua here is unique to this case. It's unique to a talus, where it's so easy to just walk over to your friend in the street and grab his cloak and claim that it belongs half to you. Okay, so that's the second of the three Lema Masnis and Delos. Now the third and final Lema Masnis and Delo says the Gemara Lema Masnis and Delo Krabiosi. Our Mishnah, let us suggest that our Mishnah goes against Rabbi Yossi. Who's Rabbi Yossi? What did Rabbi Yossi say? So Rashi fills in the blanks for us. If you look at the first skinny line of Rashi, Shnayim Shev Kidu Eitz Al Echad. Two guys give a pikadon to Reuben and Shimon. Both give a pikadon to Levi. Zeman of Zemasayim. One of them gave $100. One of them gave $200 to Levi. Zomer Masayim Shali. Zomer Masayim Shali. The only thing is now both Reuben and Shimon are claiming that the $200 pikadon is theirs. The Kamar Tanakama. So the Tanakama says, Nolsin leZeman leZemana. Give each one $100 because each one for sure is supposed to get $100, and what do you do with that third $100 that you're not sure who it belongs to? You put it down until Eliyahu Hanavi comes and figures out what to do. So Rabbi Yossi says, wait a second, if you can do that, then what do you lose by lying? When you, if let's say I'm the one that's supposed to get $100, Reuven is the one that's supposed to get $100, let's say, so he's going to lie, he figures, might as well go for it, go for the gold, might as well, so he'll go and he'll say, you owe me $200. What's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to give me 100? Okay, it's what I deserve anyway. So the Ramai doesn't stand to lose anything. So Velomi Yoda, why should he ever admit that he's lying if he doesn't stand to lose? Hari Kibla Shalom, he got his money back. Ela Kol Yehimunach V'yafsid HaRamai. V'alchanam Yehimunach. Meaning the point is that says Rabbi Yossi holds, no, you don't give each guy $100. Take all $300 and say it's munachat sheyavo Eliyahu. Don't give it to anybody. So now, what's the situation? Basically, what you have is $200 of money that you know someone is muchzik and you know who it belongs to. $100 that's sort of in between. That could go either way. So says Gemara, Leim Masnis says lo Rabbi Yossi. Our mission is against Rabbi Yossi, dik Rabbi Yossi, because if our mission were like Rabbi Yossi, hamarim kein mahifster mai. Rabbi Yossi says that we have to make sure that the guy who's lying loses, even though that's going to cost the guy who's telling the truth also. But the only way to motivate the person who's lying to tell the truth and to be molded to his lie is if we're going to make him lose. So Ela kol yemun achashiyav aliyo. So in our case of shnei mochsim betalis, right? So if the guy who's lying gets half of the talis, that's not really much of a penalty. So you know what we should do? We should say it's all munach at sheyav aliyah. We should put the entire talis away at sheyav aliyah. And therefore, the guy who's lying is not going to get anything from his lie. Maybe he'll be moda. So says Gemara Elamai. So what? But wait a second. What's the alternative? If our mission is not going like Rabbi Yossi, so who is it going like? The Rabbanan. What did the Rabbanan say? Give each one $100 and put the extra 100. Now, our case is Shnei Mochsim Batalis. Is that Talis like the extra 100, or is that like the initial 100? So think about it for a second. Elamai Rabbanan. Kivin Dami Rabbanan Hashayye Munach Hashayyev Elio. Hanami Kishar Dami Desfekehi. What was it about the original 100 in that case that we gave each guy $100? It's that there was no debate over it. Everyone knew that Reuven was entitled to 100, Shimon was entitled to 100. What was their debate over? That third $100. And what did we do with the money that there was a debate over? We put it away, at Sheyav Eliyahu. That was the Shita of the Rabbanan. Now transfer that over to our case of Shnayim Mochsim Batalis. What's their debate over? What are they fighting over? The Talis. So what would the Rabbanan tell you to do here? Forget about Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbanan would say, Yei munach at Sheyav Eliyahu. So our mission would be like nobody. We have serious problems. Forget about our mission of the Lok Rabbi Yossi. It doesn't work like the Rabbanan either. So says Gemara, no, hi, Mike. Over there, in the case of the money, this third $100 definitely belongs to one of them and not the other. The entire sum of money, we know that one guy gave a pikadon of 100, one guy gave a pikadon of 200. So this money that's specific, this last $100 specific, definitely belongs entirely to one of them. So in that case, we're going to say, leave it alone till Eliyahu comes. But hacha, dikal memer tetravayahu, I'm Rabban Palgi b'shvua. But over here, there's a third possibility. It's not that the talis either belongs to Reuven or belongs to Shimon. It either belongs to Reuven or belongs to Shimon or belongs to both. So since that possibility exists, we're willing to say, let them divide it as long as they take a shvua, because that might be true. That might be the real halacha. So that fits according to the Rabbanan. But Eliyam Rabbi Yossi he. But if you can say like Rabbi Yossi, hashtu mahasum debavadi yikaman alamar, vikaman alamar. In that case, where for sure each guy owns $100 on Rabbi Yossi, munachachiav Eliyahu. Still, Rabbi Yossi says, leave it alone till Eliyahu comes. So over here, where it's possible that we don't know that both of them are entitled to money, it belongs to one of them and not the other. Of course, we should say Yemunach Hashem Elio. It's Kavul Chomer. We should say Yemunach Hashem Elio. Meaning, if Rabbi Yossi was willing to say Yemunach Hashem Elio about money that we know what to do with and we know who it belongs to, So Kavl Chomer, you should say it about money that we really don't know what to do with and don't know who it belongs to. So it says in Gemara, Afilu Tem Rabbi Yossi, Hasam Vade Ikramai, Hacham Yemer Dikramai, Emet Ravai, Vade Adad Diagbua. No, over there, in the case of the Pikadon, we know that one of them is for sure a liar. Over here, it's not so clear that one of them is a liar, because it could be that they both felt that they got it, because they both picked it up at the same time, and each one felt like they got in one hair before the other guy, and therefore they own the item. I mean, it's hard to say that, because Zelmer Kula Shalev is Zelmer Kula Shalev, that can't be true, meaning it can't entirely belong to both of them, but the point is, each one could be honestly believe that it belongs to them, because they picked it up at the same time, and each one thinks they got it in a second before. Inami, or else, Hasam Kanasei Rabbi Yossi Ramai Ki Yechi Delodi. Over there, it makes sense Rabbi Yossi to make a special kanas so that the guy who's lying would admit. Why would he admit? Because he definitely is entitled to $100, and now he's going to lose it. That's going to make him admit, because he doesn't want to lose his $100. But Hacha might say this late Delodi, but keep in mind over here, this talus belonged to no one before they picked it up. It was just a metzia. Right, so what happens? What's the liar doing? He's walking over to a guy and he's grabbing his talus. Right, so let's say I lose. What's the worst Beis Din going to tell me? You don't get the talus? Okay, it's not mine. I don't lose anything over here. So it doesn't make sense to make a knas in order to encourage him to be modeh. He's not. There is no knas. He's not losing anything anyway, because it never belonged to him. It only Rabbi Yossi Shita only makes sense when he has some money in here that we can take away from him to sort of push his hand a little bit. Fine. So that's the way that Rabbi Yossi could even be going like our Mishnah. Now this whole idea, just very briefly, of Yehimunachat Shiyava Eliyahu, it's interesting that we always refer to Eliyahu as being the one that's going to solve all of our problems, right? And those that say Teiku means Tishbi Itaritz Kushios V'Yibayos, right? Whether it actually stands for that or just means that, it for sure means it, right? The idea of Teiku definitely means we wait for Eliyahu Anavi. So the question that my chavrus always likes to say over, the question that we every Jew should ask is, wait a second, who is the greatest rabbi in Jewish history? It's Moshe Rabbeinu. So why are we waiting for Eliyahu Hanavi? It should be Meku. Moshe, right? Moshe Rabbeinu should be the one that we wait for to answer all of our questions. So he points out, I forget who he says in the name of, but he always says over that the difference is that Eliyahu Hanavi never died. Eliyahu Hanavi went up in the chariots of fire up to Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu died. And in order to paskin a halacha in any generation, you need ein lecha chacham shebedaro. You need chachamim of your generation, chachamim who are alive in your generation. Otherwise, someone is not going to be familiar with the details enough to be able to paskin the shaila. People are always going to look back to previous generations, and if someone who's not in touch with what metzius is in that generation is never going to be able to paskin. Oh, I know he says in the name of. So in Yom Diyoma, the Ema Banu Smecha of Taichal, we did in our Akdama Shiurim once, the Akdama to Ema Banu Smecha, he's the one that says that. He says, that's why it's Tishbi Taitz, that's why it's Eliyahu Navi, because you need people who are familiar with the Metzius on the ground. Because Rav Taichal felt that a lot of the people who were very much against the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael were saying that based on 50, 60-year-old arguments, and had they seen the Holocaust, and had they seen everything that went on, they would have changed their minds. They would have been more familiar with the Metzius of how important it is to make a push for Klal Yisrael to take over Eretz Yisrael again. But anyway, that was that was his argument. Okay, anyway, says Gemara Vayter. Tenuk Metzia, Mekach Memkar, Michael Neymar. This works very well for a Metzia. You're going to say that there's no sense in giving a knas to the guy who's lying. What do you mean giving a knas to the guy who's lying? He's not losing anything. That makes sense by a Metzia. What about by Mekach Memkar? Right, if it's a case of a sale, so then he is losing. So you have to go back to what we answered originally, that it's not about the knas issue, it's about whether there's Vaday or Ramay involved or not Vaday or Ramay. So Ben Rabban Ben Rabbi Yossi, Hasam Gabi Chenveni, Alpakin Kasu, Diktani Zenishpav Notel, Zenishpav Notel. Both according to Rabbi Yossi, the Rabban and according to Rabbi Yossi, by Chenveni Alpakin Kasu. Chenveni Alpakin Kasu is a case where a guy says to Reuven says to Shimon, go pay my employees for me. And Shimon says, no problem. Shimon then says, okay, I did it. And the employee said, well, we never got paid, right? So they both come back to Reuven saying, we want our money. That's Chavin Alpin Kaso. So Zenish Pavinotel, Zenish Pavinotel. So the halacha is, each one is Nishpa Vinotel. The Shimon and the employees are both Nishpa and get money from Reuven. Marshal Talamin, Nafke, the Monami Balabais, Vemunachach Yavaliyahu, Tabivada Yikramai. Well, in that case also, there's definitely a liar there, so why don't we just take the money from the Balabais and leave it alone till Eliyahu Novi comes? It says, well, no, Amri Hasam, Hain, the time of Damar Lechan, Vinil Balabais, Anashikhus, Dacha, Vinna, Maisla Kabisachir. No, in that case, the Chevroni could say to the Baal HaBayis, look, I did what you wanted. I gave the money. Shimon could say, I gave the money to the guys. I shouldn't have to deal with fighting with them whether that's true or not. You are the one that, even if they swear to me that they didn't get the money, I don't care if they swear. I don't believe them. I have no trust for them. I just did what you wanted. Atimantia, you're the one that believed them. How do I know you believe them? Because you never told me to give the money to them in front of witnesses. If you didn't trust them, how could you let me do that? Just give them the money, not in front of witnesses. Obviously, you trusted them, so you believe them when they take a shvua that they didn't get paid, and you pay them back. And the worker also can say to the Baal HaBayis, I worked for you. Well, why should I have to fight it out with this chenveni who's supposed to pay me the money? He could swear from today till tomorrow that he paid me the money. I know it's not true and I don't believe him. I never did believe him. I never showed any faith in him. Therefore, both of them say that their beef is with the Baal HaBayis, and both of them are going to go swear to the Baal HaBayis and get paid from the Baal HaBayis. One guy says, you owe me $100. The other one says, I owe you nothing. But Edom testify, that he owes him $50. So we know the halacha is when you say, I owe you $100, and I admit that I owe you $50, some chayav ishvod orais, that's modem mitzas. What if we know I owe you $50, not because I was moda, but rather because there are Edom that say that I owe you $50. So nosan l'chamishim zuz, v'yishav al ashar. So says the Gemara, says the Rabbi Chiya, you take a shvua. That's just like modem mitzas. Shalotei adas piv gedol me'adas Edom, mikal v'chomer. Because being moda shouldn't be any stronger than what Edom could do. So if being moda could be mechayiv miyeshvua, Edom for sure should be able to be mechayiv miyeshvua. The Tanatuna and our Mishnah supports this. B'kshnayim ochs metal zomer nimitziyav zomer nimitziyav, etc. V'ahach akivin to tafis. But over here, since each one is grabbing onto it, anan sahadi, it's as if we have witnesses, because we have an anan sahadi, demayid tafis hai didehu, demayid tafis hai didehu, that what each one is grabbing onto belongs to them. V'katani yishava, and still we see a swear. So what do you have? You have witnesses that $50 of it belongs to me. So it's like, instead of modav mixas, like witnesses b'miktas, and therefore you take a shvuah. So says Gemara, no. My shlote yados piv gedolim. So says Gemara, okay, let's back up a second. What did we just say? That the reason why when there are Edom that say that I owe part of the money, it's the same halach as modem mixas, is because shlote yados piv gedolim yados Edom mikal v'chomer. Right? So what does that mean? That hodas piv should not be any stronger than Edom from a kal v'chomer. My shlote yados piv gedolim yados Edom mikal v'chomer. Shlote tamar yados piv hu derami rachman shvui alei kederaba. That I shouldn't say that it's dafka when I'm moda to part of it, that's when I'm going to have to take a shavua. Why? Like Rabba explained. Why is a moda mixas take a shavua? Damar Rabba, Rabba explained. Mipnei ma'am retar a moda mixas a tiny yeshava. Chazaka yinod amei is panav b'fnei bal chavu. Because we have a chazaka that a person doesn't want to lie to a person. He doesn't want to have the azus to lie, the chutzpah to lie entirely to the person who lent him money. He really, if he had the guts, he would deny the whole thing. The only reason he didn't is because he wasn't born with that kind of chutzpah. Or alternatively, he really would have liked to admit to the whole thing. And why didn't he admit to the whole thing? Because he needed to delay. He figured he doesn't have the money on him now. He was hoping to delay a little bit till he gets the money so he can pay him back. And therefore, the Torah goes out of its way to say, in that case, Rami Shavua, make him take a Shavua, and hopefully that will encourage him to be moda to everything. That's in a case where he's moda mixas, so we could do that whole psychological analysis. That why is he being moda mixas? Because really, he wants to deny the whole thing, but he doesn't have the chutzpah. He wants to admit the whole thing, but he doesn't have the money. So we could do a whole psychological analysis. But if the guy actually was kofar hakol, where we assume that a person would not be meyus to be kofar hakol, and it's Edom who came along and said that he owes part of the money, so this whole analysis goes out the window. And therefore, I would think, along with that, the whole Shvuah should go out the window. There shouldn't be a Chiyuv Shvuah. I might think that Adas Edim, where you can't say this, there should not be a Shvuah. Therefore, comes teach me, Rabbi Chiyuv comes teach me, no, we have a Kal V'Chomer. It's simple Kal V'Chomer, that if your own Hoda'a can cause you to take a Shvuah, then Edom can cause you to take a Shvuah as well. So says the Gemara, Umay Kal V'Chomer. What I assumed what the Kal V'Chomer was. But frankly, the Gemara, Umay Kal V'Chomer. What really is the Kal V'Chomer? Meaning, what's the Kal, what's the Chomer? What establishes one as more Kal and more Chomer? So possibility number one, we're only going to probably get through one possibility today of what the Kal V'Chomer is, but there are numerous possibilities that the Gemara brings up. So possibility number one, map hivshein mechayv mamon mechayv shvua. If your own mouth, which can never be mechayv you money, is still mechayv you shvua, edim shemechayv nosa mamon and edim shemechayv nosa shvua. Edim that can be mechayv you mamon, whenever edim come and say you owe money, you owe that money. So then of course they could be mechayv you shvua. Says Gemara, that's ridiculous. Upiv ein mechayv mamon. Your own mouth can't be mechayv you money. Not only can your own mouth be mechayv money, it can be mechayv money to the greatest extent possible. It's like mea edim, it's like having 100 edim. It could be mechayv money the same way edim can. So that's not what we mean when we say that there's a kal v'chomer between piv and edim. So no, my mamon, what do we mean by mamon? When we say your mouth can't be mechayv mamon, knas. It means when you're modu b'knas, you're pater. Umapiv shein mechayvu knas, mechayvu shvua. If your mouth, which cannot be mechayvu knas, can be mechayvu shvua, edim shem mechayvu noso knas, and edim shem mechayvu noso shvua. Edim who are mechayvu knas, well, for sure be able to be mechayvu shvua. So says Gemara, but wait a second, that does not necessarily mean piv is more kal. Malapiv shekein mechayvu karban, tomer v'edim shem mechayvu noso karban. Your own hoda'a can be mechayvu karban. Edim can't be mechayev yu karban. So don't tell me that piv is more kal, and whatever piv can be mechayev, edim can also be mechayev. It's not true. You don't know dog can be mechayev yu karban. Edim can't be mechayev yu karban. Says Mar Holokasha. Rabbi Chia Kreb Meir Svirlei. Damer edim mechayev also karban. Mikal v'chomer. Rabbi Chia would hold like Rabbi Meir holds that edim could be mechayev yu karban also from mikal v'chomer to tnan, because we have in the Mishnah amelu shnayim achal techelev. Two edim say you ate chelev. And the guy says, no, I didn't. So Rabbi Meir, Mechayev Chambot. Rabbi Meir says, Yechayev Karban. So you see, Rabbi Meir holds that two Edim can be Mechayev Yu Karban. So we're back to a good Kal V'Chomer, right? That if Piv could be Mechayev Yu Shavua, then, and even though it can't be Mechayev Yu Knas, then Kal V'Chomer, Edim, which can be Mechayev Yu Knas, should be able to be Mechayev Yu Shavua. And Rav Meir's explanation is as follows: why can two edim be mechayev yu karban? Because Amar Rav Meir, im hevi uhul shnayim lidei misa chamura lo yeviu lidei karban akal. If two edim could cause you to be chayev misa, you don't think they could cause you to be chayev a karban? So Amar Lo, the Rabban said back to my mitzvah b'mezid isi yiftar. What do you mean? If the guy just says, yeah, I did it, but I was b'mezid, he could just get off the hook from the karban. So it's not that they don't have the power to be chayev a karban. We believe everything they're saying. It's just that they don't know his well. Was going through his mind while he was doing it. He could just say, I did it b'mezid, and then he's going to be pater. Meaning when Edim testified that someone did something b'mezid, it's because they verified it. They gave hasra and whatever, and they verified that he's doing it b'mezid. But when they're testifying that he did something b'shogeg, you can't know that he did it b'shogeg. He might have done it b'mezid, and he can always get out of it. But anyway, either way, the bottom line is, according to Rabbi Meir at least, Edim can be mechayev a karban, and therefore we have a good kal v'chomer. Says Gemara, no, it's still a bad kal v'chomer. Another reason to reject the kal v'chomer. El nemal piv shekein mechayev asham. Piv can be mechayev you an asham. Your own mouth can be mechayev you a karban asham. Says Gemara, well, asham hainu karban. That goes back to this, that's part of the same thing we just said with Rav Meir. If you hold like Rav Meir that Edim can be mechayev you a karban, then that's not a chumra that piv has over Edim. So another rejection of the kal v'chomer as follows. El mal piv shekein mechayev a chomesh. Piv can be mechayev yu chomesh. When you're moda, you can cause yourself a chiyuv of chomesh, whereas edim can never be mechayev yu the extra chomesh. So says Gemara, holo kasha. Rabbi Chia k'Rav Meir sirulei. Rabbi Chia holds like Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Chia, who says that there's a kal v'chomer from piv to edim, would hold like Rabbi Meir, who holds k'echid mechayev le'karban mikal v'chomer, mechayev le'chomesh mikal v'chomer. Just like Rabbi Meir said that, look, if edim could be mechayev yu misa, then for sure they could be mechayev yu karban. Rabbi Meir would also say, if edim could be mechayev yu misa, for sure they could be mechayev yu to pay an extra 25%. Ella, so rather the fifth rejection of this kal v'chomer, malu piv shekein eno ba'chashu ba'azama, tomer ba'edim sheyeshna ba'chashu ba'azama. Piv is not subject to Achashav Azama. What does it mean it's not subject to Achashav Azama? If I admit that I owe $100, then Edim come and say, no, he doesn't. He doesn't owe $100. You don't have anything. You don't have to pay him anything. Still, I'm not Pater. I still have to pay $100 because Hodas Bal Din is Kamei Edim Dami. So you can't be Makhish or Mazim Hodas Piv. So it's much stronger in that sense. Edim, you could be machish or mazim, and therefore it's much weaker in that sense. So don't tell me, Kal v'chomer, that if Piv can be mechayev you a shvua, then Kal v'chomer, Edim can be mechayev you a shvua. No. Piv is stronger than Edim in a certain sense, in that Piv is not subject to achash of azama. That's why it could be mechayev you a shvua. Edim, which are subject to achash of azama, cannot be mechayev you a shvua. Just one quick ha'ara, Tosos, in that small Tosos, Reb Chiya Krav Meir Sirulei, in fact, Tosos in Tomer, in Kein, Nema Kal v'chomer, Drav Meir, Imi v'u lidei mis, So why doesn't Rav Meir just simply say that if Edim could be Mechayev Yu Misa, they could be Mechayev Yu Shvua? Why does it have to be a Kal v'chomer from Piv? Meaning once you're holding like Rav Meir holds that you have a Kal v'chomer from Edim, Minei Ubei, that if Edim could be Mechayev Yu the most severe things, then they could be Mechayev Yu everything under it, right? They could be Mechayev Yu Karbon, and they could be Mechayev Yu Chom. Why not just say they could be Mechayev Yu Shvua on that? You don't even need Piv. So be Yishlom Adikul Mifrak Tamal Misa Shkein Al Mashein Mi'idin Hu Meis Tomer Gabi Shvua Shal Mashu Kofer Hu Nishba. It's the difference is that when it comes to the Shvua, you're not taking the Shvua on what the Eidos is about. You're taking the Shvua on what the Eidos was not about, on the part that you're denying, whereas by the Misa, you're getting the Misa on what the Eidim testified about. Okay, we'll pick up with the second explanation of the Kal V'chomer tomorrow.